I'm Marco Werman with The World. The Islamist group Boko Haram has long waged war against the government in Nigeria, most recently with a massive attack on the northern town of Baga near Lake Chad. The militants reportedly murdered hundreds of people there. We reported on that on Monday, but while most of the world was focused on France and the attacks last week that killed 17 people there, the massacre in Nigeria barely registered around the globe. The disparity in coverage jumps out. I spoke about that today with Esther Ibanga. She's the founder of a group called Women Without Walls. She's also the pastor of Jos Christian Missions in the city of Jos in central Nigeria. Ibanga says she would have hoped the world would have paid more attention to the events in Nigeria.
I was angry in my heart, but my anger was towards my government, really, and not so much towards the West or the international media for the almost little to nothing attention that was given to what's been going on in Nigeria, because my government and my rulers have to value their own people. If you don't value your own people first, why would you expect someone else to value them?
Where you live in Jos and Plateau State, it's kind of known as this Middle Belt, a long history of Muslim-Christian tensions. Do those tensions predate Boko Haram, and how long?
Those tensions, yes, predated Boko Haram. And I must point out here that the stronghold of Boko Haram is in the northeastern part of Nigeria. We are in the Middle Belt. So there are some Boko Haram presence that filters through to the Middle Belt, but it's not as much as Borno State, which is their stronghold, you know. And since 1994 in Jos, there's been a lot of religious crisis between the Muslims and the Christians. It's unfortunate, but over the years, we sort of got used to it, that Christians and Muslims don't get on well together. And every time the conflicts would break out in violence, all you want to do is play safe. You know, you want your family to be safe, your children safe, the church safe, and all of that. So I never got involved with what was going on. But all that changed in the year 2010, when in a village very close to where I lived, about 530 women and children were killed and massacred in the most gruesome and hideous way by Islamic militants.
Why was it such a turning point in your life? What did you do? What did you realize?
Why this was different was the war was taken into the bedroom of the woman. The village that was attacked, they actually went right into their bedrooms at night when they were sleeping and started killing them with machetes, really. And it was really horrible.
Apparently, when that happened, you organized 100,000 women in a march. What were you aiming to achieve with that march?
Well, the voices of women are very, very subdued where I come from. You're just expected to be seen and not heard, even from the church. When this massacre took place, the Christian women in my community were coming to me. And then the rally came up. And the purpose for the rally is to let the government know the women on the plateau are not going to keep quiet anymore.
Tell me about your counterpart, a woman who is a Muslim leader in
yes.
Jos. How has that kind of affected your kind of motivation and what you aim to achieve with this movement?
Okay, let me tell you, even the massacre in Dogona Hawa was a reprisal attack. Prior to that time, a Muslim community was also attacked by the Christian militants, and they killed a lot of Muslims. I didn't know that then, but when the Christian one happened in Dogona Hawa, and we went on a rally and a protest march, and 100,000 women came out, the Muslim women now reacted and said, hey, wait a minute, our own people were killed as well. So they went on the streets and they had their own rally as well.
They didn't join you. They had their own
rally. No, they had their own rally. They didn't join me at that time. We did it separately. And then after the two rallies, nothing changed. The killings continued. And that was when I realized the issue is really not religion. The issue was politics, but religion was used as a very powerful tool. And after the two rallies and the killings didn't stop, we decided to get together with Khadija, who is my Muslim counterpart. Mm. I reached out to her and I said, hey, listen, you know, we're not each other's problems. It's not about you being a Muslim and me being a Christian. These politicians are knocking our heads together. And it's all about them maintaining power.
Tell me more about Khadija. I mean, she strikes me as a really interesting character in this whole trying to move things ahead in a positive way in Jos.
Khadija was not totally convinced at the beginning. There was mutual suspicion and distrust. You know, it's been years of Christian and Muslim fights, but we had the first meeting on a neutral ground because then the situation in Jos was I couldn't go to her community and she couldn't come mine.
What would have happened if she had come into your community, if you'd gone to her part of town?
She could have been attacked. She could have been killed. Yes, and I could have been killed also going into a Muslim community.
How does Boko Haram feel about Khadija?
Well, Khadija is a very strong woman, and she's also a religious leader in her community. But I must say, it's not just about Khadija and I, because just the two of us cannot do what we're doing. We have to bring other women on board. So Khadija was able to mobilize other Muslim women to come to the table, and I was able to mobilize Christian women to come to the table. And that's how we formed Women Without Walls Initiative. And basically all we're saying is we want to do away with the walls that divide and separate us, whether it's the wall of social class or the wall of ethnicity or the walls of religion. We're going to do away with those walls. We really cannot, you know, join the politicians in this fight. We are mothers. We are life givers. And we are solution bearers, and we think we should bring solutions to the table rather than dwell on the problem.
Esther Ibanga is the pastor of Jos Christian Missions in the city of Jos in central Nigeria. Thanks so much for being with us here in Boston. I apologize for the frigid weather. Good luck.
Thank you, Marco.
As Esther was leaving the studio today, she saw a poster I've got tacked up on the wall. It's of the late Nigerian musician Fela Kuti. She paused in front of it and recalled seeing Fela perform years ago at his club in Lagos, The Shrine. She also said his music is as fresh today as when he made it, and that he was one of the greatest people Nigeria has ever produced. With admiration in her voice, Esther explained that Fela spoke out against government injustice and corruption at great personal risk. Something Esther Ibanga knows about.
Brothers and sisters, the father of Pan-Africanism, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, says to all black people all over the world, the secret of life is to have no fear. We all have to understand that.
Fear Not for Man from Fela Kuti. That's the world for this Wednesday. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH here in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. Thank you for being with us.
The World is a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI and WGBH, supported by the Ford Foundation, by PRI's New Voices Fund, whose donors include Maureen and Michael Rutgers, and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation, by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world, macfound.org, the Luce Foundation's Henry R. Luce Initiative on Religion and International Affairs, the PRI Ambassador Council, whose members include Peter and Catherine Darrow, the Gruber Family Foundation, Marguerite Steed Hoffman, Ken and Lucy Lehman, and the Robbins Kaplan Miller Cerisi Foundation, and by the Carnegie Corporation of New York, supporting innovations in education, democratic engagement, and strengthening international peace and security at carnegie.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.